Just a couple of announcements. First, that on the front part of the bulletin is a prophecy coming from Ezekiel chapter 18. And this is for your spiritual consolation in these days and times in which we live in. How God is going to react according to the way men act. Also, there will be catechism class after this 10 o'clock Mass. And we'll have the usual Sunday Vespers and Benediction tonight at 5 p.m. Also, to remind you of the All Souls Day envelopes, and please try to have those back before November the 1st. And also remember that November is the month of the poor souls, so let us offer all our good prayers and good works for them. And also to prepare yourself these last few weeks of October for the great feast of Christ the King. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. God so loved the world that he sent his own beloved Son into it, not to condemn it, but to save it. Now with this in mind, why would God do such a marvelous thing as that? Send his most prized possession to sinful man. Would you send your prized possessions to somebody you don't know? Something that's been in your family for generations unto generations. And if you give it to your neighbor, he could throw it away, destroy it. Here God sent his prized possession, the Word. And he gives it to sinful man. Why? Because of love. God does not do anything unless it is prompted by love. In today's gospel, our Lord was in a very well-planned predicament. They knew the questions that they were going to ask him were to trip him up. They thought that since he says or claims to be the Son of God, why should he give tribute to a mere man? But our Lord came to show us an example. That yes, he created man. Yes, he put Caesar in rule of man because it was good. Not because Caesar thought he was a god. That will be taken care of later. He was trying to show us to respect government, and respect the church, what you give, what you tribute you give to Caesar, you give to Caesar. But what belongs to God, you give to God. So our Lord tells them this thing, and they marveled over it because it surprised them. He was trying to show us to put first things first. Where is God in your lives? Is he in the first place? Or is he always put in the back pocket? We want pleasures, and we want to have fun. We don't want to suffer. We don't really want to pray all the time, so to speak. In today's life, we see a lot of immorality. So much so, it's hard to even talk about. Because it doesn't seem like it's decreasing, it seems like it's increasing. Abortions, gay marriages, and things like that. But where is God in our lives? Is he the center of all our dealings? We have to fight a problem of indifferentism of religion, our religious values. We got to show this example to our children. Now, not putting it off, not putting on a show, but sincere. When you come in contact with someone who is striving after holiness, you feel it. It's like a magnet that draws, you want to become a part of it. We can only do that or become like that if we are sincere, interiorly sincere, not exterior. We don't want to put on a pretended religious life. We want to be sincere. We don't want to kneel down at nighttime and say our rosary because of a habit, a mechanical thing to do. It's 7 o'clock at night, let's kneel down and say our rosary. So we gather our family around, we kneel down and say our rosary. But are you saying it because you have to say the rosary? Or are you saying it because you love God? You wish to please him. You wish to thank him for all the graces he has given you. If we don't show this good example, and take this sacredness and, I don't want to say divine, but almost the divinity out of our religious life, so to speak, man will become like an animal and think like an animal. His religion will just be nothing but symbols that mean hardly anything. We have to put the sacredness back into our lives. We have to put God first. Now, previous to this gospel, right above it, our Lord was speaking about a marriage feast. How all the good and the bad would be invited to this marriage feast. And the servants were complaining because they couldn't find anybody else to fill up the room. So it's not a matter of how we feel interiorly or exteriorly. Don't let your conscience bother you so much. Thinking of your past life, how sinful you've been, that doesn't matter. It's the present moment that counts. But we want to kneel down and pray with sincerity that God will give us the graces that we stand most in need of. Let us look at the tribute that the Son gave back to his Father as our example. The very first example given was his humility. How many of us could stand up and have somebody come up to us and spit in our face or slap us in the face and do nothing about it? It's not easy to stand there and just do nothing when the natural instinct is to strike back. Of course, our Lord stood there and just looked at him in the face. But his first tribute to us was to be born in a cave and placed in a feeding trough that we call a manger. He debased himself so low so that no matter what man may feel like, he can always come to his God, no matter what. Did he not say, "Come to me and I will refresh you"? Next, we see him trying to reason with the Jews and to remove some of their hypocritical practices. How they try to always catch him at a bad turn or a bad word or something they can get him on, but they would never look at the reality of what he was trying to tell them. But for us, we must show the good example. We must do this to the best of our ability. We must really want our hearts changed from stone to flesh. And if we don't do this now or put it off, then what are your children are going to do 20 or 30 years from now with their children? If they're not taught now how to respect and love their God, how are they going to do it in the future with their children? The sacredness has been taken out of just about everything that is religious. And of course, when you do that, man's attitude will go right along with it. You'll walk in the church, and you won't genuflect. You'll just go sit down and wait for a mass to get over, and then just get up and leave. Because there's no essence of anything in here that would resemble sacredness. But we have to fight against that. We must. Because that's what's happened in so many other places, and we know that so well. One little step at a time. But we must fight against that. So again, we must try to show that good example which our Lord, throughout his whole life, tried to teach us, to imitate him in his humility, in his prayers. He too had a long, dark night, did he not, in Gethsemane? He didn't go there for a picnic. He didn't go there to have a party with his apostles. He went there because he wanted to show us something. His great, tremendous love for us. And we must return that back from our sincerity of heart and our interior conviction. And once we do this, then we have nothing more to fear. For does not love cast out fear? So our example is to stand up justly, righteously, and do the things that we know we have to do. May God bless you and keep us all in your prayers as we keep all of you in ours at the altar. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.